service today after the message. Not everybody, you know, needs prayer. And I told our ministry team a while ago, I said, be ready for the end of service. I said, we might just have a prayer line. And if you don't know what that is, it's just where you come through a line and walk and we just pray for you. It's kind of like a car wash, but spiritually. And but you just keep your car moving, put it in neutral, and move, and it's easy. It's easy. And I want to especially pray for the Garcia family. And they need God's hand on them. They're about to embark on a ministry trip. And we want God's blessings and protection. Amen. We want them to come home better than they left. And that's what happens when you go and minister. Amen. You come back blessed. Let's go to the Lord's Word in Mark chapter 8. And I want to start with verse 22. Mark 8 and 22. And read down through verse 25. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. He touched him. So good that he went from blind to seeing men that looked like trees. After that, he put his hands on him again, on his eyes, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. He had to take two chances, two touches before he saw the men clearly. I want to talk about where men look like trees. Men don't normally look like trees. So if men look like trees to you, there's another touch needed. But I want to talk about where men look like trees. Father, we thank you for your tremendous presence that is in this place today. God, I want to thank you for those that are here. The lives, God, that you've already touched. Hearts that have already been touched, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, let your word today be in this house in a mighty way, we pray. It is you, God, that we seek after. Lord, it is your presence. It is your glory, God, we look for. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you today. Appreciate all of you being here for our guests. So thankful that you're here today. Just a great atmosphere here. And I just love the freedom that we feel right now. Amen. Such a wonderful freedom in the Holy Ghost. Jesus took this man. I don't know if you caught what he did here, but he led him outside of the group, and he took him away from the crowd. And there it was just Jesus and this man privately. And perhaps the reason for that was the Lord already knew that it was going to take two tries. And it wasn't because God's touch is not enough. It was, for one thing, to show us a valuable lesson. Everything Jesus did, you can take it and use it for lessons of life. And he taught a very valuable lesson. And I want to stand on that principle and talk about it for a little bit today. And talk about a place that we can truly live where men look like trees. And if we're not careful, we'll get used to that scene around us. And that'll be our normal. And I don't ever want that to be my normal. When I can't tell you from an oak tree, fig tree, orange tree, I really need to see you the way you are. Amen. We want to be identified as people, not as trees. Amen. This blind man needed to be led, so he took him by the hand. And that problem is really what brought him to Jesus. I'm here because I can't see you and I can't see anything. And, you know, it would have been worse to be blind and not be led to Jesus. So there's always something that could be worse. He could have been blind and not had the opportunity to be healed, but he was taken to Jesus, but then Jesus took him a little bit further. But instead of making a spectacle, he took him outside of town and said, it's just me and you, bud. It's me and you. Now hear what I'm going to do. And it doesn't mean that he just stood back and spit on his eyes, but he just took moisture from his lips and tongue, most likely, to where he could just tell that he had been touched. Just that's all I'm going to do. And it might have seemed very strange. As a matter of fact, in that day, it was strange for somebody to expect to be healed. Healing wasn't something that occurred until Jesus came on the scene. And so he led his disciples, remember, by speaking to them. He spoke to them and they always followed him. And so his word really is our best guide. And many things we gather from the Lord, we gather through either reading his word or hearing his word. So he spoke to the man and the man obeyed that word and said, I'm going to follow you because you are my best chance of being different than I am right now. All right. But it was awesome. And at the same time, confusing for him. But realize sometimes when you're in confusion, that confusion is just a very short time, a span, a season, a day. It might be just hours that the confusion's there. The Lord will strive to clear up your mind what you're confused about because he wants you to see his way clearly. Because if a person doesn't see the way clear, they'll describe it to somebody in a confused term and suddenly you get some twisted doctrine and they build a shrine out of that, and that's not what the Lord wants. So he took him out of town so there would not perhaps be any misunderstanding. And you know, if you don't ever know where you're at, the first thing you want to do is grab a map or grab your phone and go to a map app and say, I want to find out, and you can touch it and it'll tell you where you are and you may be able to get out of there. But we all like to know and our boundaries and know our parameters and where we are, but we also want to know where we are in our relationship with God. Amen. He wants to clarify that for us. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. He is it. He's everything. Amen. He beats Google Map all to pieces, because if you find yourself with Jesus, you're there. You have arrived at your destination. Life may take you here and there, but with Jesus, you've arrived at your destination. Amen. You are there. You are there. I told somebody the other day, I said, I would like for our church, and we have the little music that goes on as a countdown. It would be neat if at the end of that countdown, we could have that recording that says, you've arrived at your destination. In other words, we're about to start church. You've arrived at your... So just pretend that happened today and let that be awesome. You've arrived at your destination. You know, I believe that after wiping his eyes with that spit, that the man expected something other than blurry vision. I think he did. Or maybe his doubt wouldn't allow it to be complete. But while every other miracle in the Bible we read about was absolute and complete, this one was very special in that it required an installment plan. You know, we're going to pray for you. Again, the man could see, but just it was blurry. And if men look like trees, now if we stop at that one touch right there, and trust me, there are a lot of people that will stop at that one touch and say, I think that's good right there. I don't want any more. They're a little confused, a little shocked, perhaps a little bit dismayed at what they feel, and they don't want any more because they felt like they were about to lose control. And so that first touch, some people leave with just a glimpse of the glory of God. Yes. And in the back of their mind, it bothers them for a while. They lay in bed at night and say, that church was different. I did feel something. But the next day, the feeling's a little less. And you can finally rid yourself of any kind of emotional turn in your life and or in your mind. It's just how we are. We get far enough away from something and we can forget about it. But if men look like trees, my goodness, what does everything else look like? He just said, when I see men, they're like trees, which tells me either he had a relationship with being able to go and feel the trees, or this man may not have been always blind. This man might have said, I remember a tree, and this is not, the men look like trees. What do the trees look like? I don't even know. But the men look like they may as well have limbs, arms for limbs and leaves and blurry. It looks like a mass right there. That's not a good way to live. Imagine if that's how God left him. All right, that's all you get was one touch. It's not in the fine print, but that's just my rules today, sir. Enjoy your tree man life. Deal with that. What would that have been like? How could we have taken that and brought it into the church as an example? Well, some of you are going to get a touch from the Lord and people are going to look weird. People aren't going to look like they're supposed to look. You're not going to have complete victory from your sin. You're going to always be hindered. That would not be a good example. Jesus was not in any way about to leave that man with imperfect vision. He was looking for 20/20, and it wasn't that he couldn't do it. He was saying there is a place and there is a situation at times when we stop short of complete victory in our life. We stop short of having what we really need. And this man stood there until Jesus touched him again in the same way. That's what we must do in our life, is say, God, I'm not getting up and walking out of here until you touch me one more time. I don't want to see men like trees. I want to see men like men, and I want to see trees that look like trees. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. Amen. Sometimes God will give you a portion of your need because He wants you to come back again to Him. Amen. He won't give you everything you want. I have seen people walk into a service and just without knowing anything about this, raise their hand, receive the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and they were, you can see the joy, the clarity on their face. You can see the tension is gone. The happiness is there, and they never walk back into the church again. What happened between this and there? They got a touch. And they thought, this is the wow part of my life. I'm glad that the Lord saved me. He saved me. That's like being in the ocean and that boat comes up, the Coast Guard, and they throw you that life preserver and you grab it. You're not going to dog paddle away and say, thank you so much. I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. I appreciate you guys. Go ahead. I'm good right here. I think this is going to work out. No, no, no. That's not salvation. You've just been thrown some help your way. That's supposed to get you into the boat. We're trying to get you into heaven. So don't just paddle away and say, I don't want any more of that. You've got to have everything we've got. You need the Word of God. You need to keep coming to church. You need prayer meeting. Don't say goodbyes yet. We're not done. Lord, we understand that He that began a good work in you will complete the work. Oh, let us not have a bunch of beginning projects. It looks like first grade art class. Nothing wrong with first graders. All right, but it's art that a mother would love. And on their level, wonderful. It's not going in a museum. Not unless one of them becomes Picasso and it happens to be left behind. No, we understand what it is. But we got to advance. We're going to go on to perfection. It's dangerous to get a touch and to use that as the model of our experiences with God. Because it's so incomplete. Oh, Jesus, I need you to touch me again. And again. See, I've grown addicted to this stuff. I have. I've grown addicted to it. I love praying to the point where I can feel the Holy Ghost moving on me. Amen. I love it when my prayer turns into talking in tongues and I begin to just pray in the Spirit with utterances that I don't know what God is saying, but the Spirit knows. Amen. I like to get to that point. I don't want to go too long before that happens again in my life because I want to easily be able to give in to that Spirit that can move. Amen. I need that. I need that level with God. I don't want to drop down below that. We need to strive for perfection. Your perfection and mine is not the same thing because everybody's created differently. There's some people that can just wake up and start talking in tongues. And yeah, that's how they are. People are different. Thank God they are. And you might be one of those that the last time you spoke in tongues was maybe April of, 1991. I hope it's been more recent than that. But not everybody is the same. Amen. I'm not going to stand here and there's some people that have this doctrine that if you spoke in tongues when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's all you need to. You don't ever have to again. I really think that you should strive to get to that place again. Amen. And do it as often as possible. And don't make it up. Don't just say something that's fake, but get to that place. You don't want to just have one touch and get by with that one touch. We need God every time we come into His presence. Amen. 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 But. And these are the things that makes my sermons too long right here that I'm about to do, so forgive me. Because I'm wading in there to it, so I got to explain this here. All right, don't think that it's okay to never talk in tongues again. You need to strive for that. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you speak in other tongues. You need to strive for that. But the Bible doesn't tell us ever anywhere. Paul just said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. You know, you got to have the captain of the team. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So don't be squabbling over who's the greatest, because it doesn't mean you're more spiritual. It means your spirit might be more easily accessible. Okay? You're more easily accessible. And that probably is that way out of the church and in the church. People are made differently. Some people are emotional. Some have a harder exterior. God is glorified in all of them. Amen. In all of them. Amen. So let's strike that right balance there. So if peoples look like trees today, just rejoice and be glad, but don't quit on Jesus. Understand, I've received a touch. I have an answer, but I'm going to let Him touch me again, because I need to go beyond the place where men are looking like trees. There's something else for me. Amen. Simon Peter said we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace is the favor of God. I've seen off-balance people who grow a lot of favor from God. They get a lot of that favor, but they really fail to get knowledge. They got favor, they got grace, but they don't have understanding. What's wrong with them? They just need to have understanding, and that's easy to get. Amen. So everyone is different. A lot of mercy comes into their life, but they don't really have any knowledge and don't know really what happened. And if we don't understand or grasp or come to Bible study or get into the Word of God, we don't know how to appreciate what truly has happened in our life. So we need the grace and the mercy of God, but we need understanding. Sometimes they fill up on benefits, but they don't have any maturity to grow. They love the benefits. They love the goosebumps. They love the feeling, the physical feeling of the presence that we felt here today. But we also have to have maturity. We need another touch. We need God to touch us with knowledge. We need God to touch us with relationship that draws us to Him, and we become like Him, and we want to know more about Him. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm on my last point already. Just sailing through here. I'm comparing myself to last Sunday, and I'm going, man, we're doing so much better. I don't go to Facebook and listen to myself. I can't stand to do that yet. But I went there to just to peek at the end number, and I just peeked at it, and it was like 1 hour and 2 minutes last Sunday. Yeah. Sorry about that. My bad. I don't know where it came from, but if you got something out of it, just rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. So I'm glad the Bible provides this to us. After that, after He saw men as trees walking, after that, God is great at after that. Amen. After, because it just goes on and on. After that, He put His hands on him again. Well, this man may not have understood the reason for the installment plan miracle. I mean, you know, we're going to work on you, then we're going to work on you again. He may not have understood. Jesus demonstrated a great lesson for all of us right here. The hand that touched us once, it really needs to be able to touch us again. That's real simple, but when you get to a place in God and you feel like you've grown up to a mountaintop experience, realize this, that's not the one you need to go right home about. You need to thank God for that mountaintop, but you need to also begin to understand there's going to be some glory down there in the valley where you're going to be next. That's where you're going to need God. You're going to need Him in the valley, amen, because that's where you're going to be alone, and that's where you're going to have trouble. Getting to, we need God on the mountain, we need God in the valley. We need Him at every juncture of our life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside. Yes. See, we need that other touch for this right here. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I need Him to touch me again for the race. If I don't get another touch, I will misunderstand the race and think I'm running from something instead of running for an obtainable spiritual prize. Don't get your eyes off of Him. Don't let your eyes wander from Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author. He is the finisher. He's the one that wants to touch you again and touch you again. He's the author, but He's the finisher. Oh, He's the finisher of our faith. Lord, I want You to finish the work that You begun in me. Who, for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross for you. He finished on the cross. That's so He can finish His work in you. We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me, it's Christ who lives within me. I need him to touch me that second time. I need him to touch me again. I don't ever want to leave and say, that's it. I've hit my pinnacle. I've hit my height. No, no, I need Jesus to touch me again. I need him to touch me again. That absence. Now, I know I talk a lot about the absence of things in our life, but when we have gaps, when we have those places that we haven't allowed God in, they can become secret places, locked cabinets, storerooms with padlocks. Jesus touched him, and he could see, but he wasn't complete. He goes, I need to touch you again, bud. Hold on a minute before you get all despondent and sad. And he did it again. He knew what he was doing. But he was trying to show us something. Stand still and let him touch you again. See, sometimes we get that first touch and we're trying to focus. As we try to focus, we think we're ready to go lay hands on people. We're ready for our ministry. Use me, Lord. Use me, Lord. Let me find somebody to lay hands on. Use me, Lord. I don't want to say a lot of things about laying hands on people. I don't want to restrict people from feeling like the compassion to pray for a brother or sister. I don't want to do that. But be careful. Examine yourself. Because I've seen the sick and the lame laying hand on somebody that was far better shaped than they were spiritually. I've said in my heart, Lord, dear Lord, I pray that you let that go in reverse and let their spirit touch the one that's thinking they're helping them and let it backflow. They need backflow, God. They need your presence to touch them. Amen. And I've seen it happen. I've seen somebody cold walk up and start laying hands because they just didn't know what else to do. And then I've seen them break and the Holy Ghost come on them and they got a better blessing than the tree that they were laying hands on, because that's just how the way that God works. Just let him work in you, whatever it has to be. If you got to pretend like you're over there praying for somebody to get it and that gets you your blessing, go ahead incognito, however you want to do it. Just get your blessing and let Jesus touch you. Amen. However you need to do it, just let him touch you. We need a touch from our master. We need him to touch us again and again and again. We need it again. Despising the shame and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That's what we're wanting right there. The writer in Hebrews was talking to the church. He was speaking to those who had been filled with the Holy Spirit and baptized in his name. And to those, he said, I want you to lay aside every weight. And to those, he said, lay aside the sin that so easily besets us. To the church, he said, you need to lay the weight and the sin aside. Why? Because you're going back to the same problems. You're committing the same offenses, and I'm having to touch you the same way again and again. I'm just having to keep licking my fingers and putting them on your eyes again and again. Why? What's the problem? Because if we're repeat offenders, then we've got our repeat defender. And he's just saying to us, please, please, let me touch you permanently. So you don't go that way anymore. So you don't do that. So you don't think that way anymore. Amen. I need him to touch me and let it have a permanent effect on my character. Amen. That's really at the core of where our battle lines are. God told Moses in Exodus. He said, little by little. He said, I'm going to drive them out now. I'm going to drive the Canaanites out of the land. Now the Lord could easily have brought a strong wind. And that wind could have just blown every one of them. A strong east wind would have done it. Just blow them all in the Mediterranean. He said, but I'm not doing it that way. I'm going to come in there and I'm going to drive out them little at a time. Little by little I'll drive them out from you until you've increased and you inherit the land. Right. See, sometimes we can't handle the complete touch that God wants to give us. But he gives us enough for what we're dealing with right now. Otherwise, we'd get top heavy. What I mean by that, if God gave us all the revelations, if he gave us all the power, it would go up here. It would affect the mind. And then we would begin to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We would think more highly than we ought to think. Lord Jesus, help us today to understand that we need another touch from you just to be good Christians. Just to be good examples. He said, until you inherit the land. God showed us something very valuable with them Old Testament example of our spiritual life today. If you don't advance on your enemy, and if you don't make progress in your daily relationship with God, your enemy will slowly push you back beyond where you even started. He wants to push you back until he can make you think there's no use trying anymore. He wants to take you to the land of hopeless. Take you to hopeless and say, I just can't. When the only thing you needed was just another touch. Just another touch. Just another touch. Don't settle for a world where men look like trees. Don't settle for that. Get another touch. And then get another one after that. And then I think it'd be great if after that you let him touch you again. And then, yeah. Why? What's wrong with that? Another touch. I come from camp meeting. We just came from camp meeting. We saw some of the same people up there getting victory, as we would call it. Service after service after service. But you know what? We needed our own victory. Amen. We went there needing victory, and God gave us victory. Sometimes we need to feel a little bit like those who are seeing men that look like trees. And God clarifies it. If you've lived for God a little while, you understand that you will go through things that make you see things and appreciate them more than if you'd never gone through anything. And you come out saying, Jesus, I need you to touch my eyes. Let me see again. In closing, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow. Just that, right there, just that. But grow. But grow, advance. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Both now and forever. How do I grow? You're in the right place right now, because this is where God touches us. This is the place where God touches people. This is the place where people that see men that look like trees can walk out of here and they can see God. And they can see men that look like men and trees that look like trees. Because what if men look like trees? What do the trees look like? You have no comparison. Your life gets messed up. The values get turned upside down. Because we don't know what is really what in a spiritual sense. But when the power of God comes as we stand, and it comes into our life, it is at that point, it is at that point that hope springs in our heart. Amen? Hope springs in our heart, and we can see and grasp His holy and awesome and wonderful presence. Thank you, Lord. 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 Holy God, holy God, holy God. It would be real easy for me to say, God wants to help somebody. He always does. See, so that's every service He wants to. But the Lord has a particular aim and desire today. Because this isn't a sermon that I got today or yesterday. This was probably last Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. It just came into my heart. Haven't heard anyone preach it. I've heard them preach on that scripture before, probably many times. But that sentence has just been on my mind, even in camp meeting, hearing great preaching and teaching. And I would settle back down to this center, and I would think of a place where men look like trees. Lord, don't let us dwell there. Because everything else will be distorted, and our growth will be compared to things that will not give us results. But when we see Jesus as He really is, when He touches us and gives us clarity of thought and clarity of vision, then we know what the next step is. Listen to this very importantly, and this is my last main point I want to make to you. One of the dangers of those that are lifted up in spirit. One of the dangers is when we begin to be lifted up with a revelation or a feeling, is that it exalts us. We feel like we have been exalted. And then we see others as lower than us. But when God is at the helm of your blessing, He humbles you. He will humble you and cause you to understand the way up is down. The way up is to say, "Dear Lord, I need you right now. I can't do this without you. I need your touch on my life." It's not arrogant pride, but it's humility. It's saying, "I'm nothing without you, Lord. I need a touch in my spirit. I need a touch. Lord, I need you today. Lord, we are a church. Father, you have moved and blessed, and what a great, great group, Lord, that you've drawn together in this church here. We thank you for it. But Lord, I thank you for your word that is very clear. And you've made it very easy, Lord, for us to approach you. We do it, God, with our hands lifted, with our hearts open, knowing, God, that you are our everything. You are our everything. Father, in your name, Jesus. Holy God, holy God, holy God. Lord, in your name, Jesus. Lord, in your name, Jesus.